Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. What a powerful, exciting verse this is. I love these verses where they talk about what the Holy Spirit is going to do. John said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Would you bow your heart with me, please? Dear Jesus, thank you for this thy word. I pray that you would speak to us, make us intensely thirsty for more of you, and for the unction, the anointing that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. What age is this? What time is this? Well, I believe it's the age of the Holy Spirit. That's what God is up to. The Holy Spirit is being outpoured. And it's what the Holy Spirit is doing. When people ask me, what's God doing? I say, well, the Holy Spirit has been at work. He's moving on hearts and touching hearts and all over the world. Remember that song we used to sing, "All over the world, the Spirit is moving." And he is everywhere. Because he said, "In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." And I am a part of that promise. You're a part of that promise that the Lord has promised to fill us, to baptize us, to overflow us. And that's the time. That's what time it is. It's time for God to touch hearts and fill hearts with the Holy Spirit. And out of that comes a wonderful promise in John chapter 7 and verse 37 to verse 39. Jesus speaking, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out." You can't picture quite Jesus doing that, but he's shouting it out. He cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." What a insight that is. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That's the mandate we have to proclaim this message. Jesus stands up and he says, if there's anybody thirsty, of course it was a feast having to do with water. So how ironic. Somebody's asking for something from God, and God was already willing to supply that. "If anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink." That's all. It's all that requires is that he believes. That if you believe, then out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That should be the normative. That should be happen all the time, where we're just overflowing and overflowing. It's not dry, dusty times, but the age of the Spirit, where we are being filled and refreshed on a regular basis, right till the Lord comes back for us. But it'll flow rivers of living water. And I thought, how could we have anything less? We need those living waters, right? They're living waters. I remember before I was even a Christian, I was just a teenager, and I remember going by this church out in the country, and it had Living Waters. That was the name of it. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I get it now. The living water is available for you, for me, for our neighbors, for our relatives, and we can come and drink deeply. And I know that if you encounter the Spirit and allow him to have his way, nothing else satisfies. Once the Holy Spirit has touched you, well, I guess you have to do drugs after that. I guess you have to drink after that. I guess you have to just, because you're wrecked. And I can speak from out of some authority in my own heart that I know that if I was to turn away and not gaze at the Spirit, not allow him to fill me, that I would be drinking at sludge pots. I mean, it would just be terrible, because that's all there would be. Just the streams of the world, and you're drinking out of those. And I thought, oh, and is it after you've touched experienced the Spirit? Once the anointing of God has been upon you? How can we? We're ruined. That's why we might as well go flat out on this thing. Might as well just declare in our own hearts and our own lives and in the community, we're all about the Holy Spirit. We have tasted of him. We've thirsted. We were thirsty, and out of our innermost rivers flowing river, living water, and it's wonderful. And we invite people to experience the Holy Spirit. You know, to actually experience the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Not just to experience the doctrine, but to experience the Holy Spirit. And that is a normative thing. It's just what we can do. So the question, of course, is this. What's your thirst? What are you thirsty for? What am I thirsty for? It begs the question, doesn't it? Well, if Jesus has promised to fill us to overflowing, what is it that I need more than anything else? And when I'm getting ahead of myself here. Jesus saw that the people who had come to the Feast of Pentecost expecting to get blessings have now gone home unsatisfied. That's what he said. Any thirsty? Shouting it out. Not whispering it out. Shouting out. Are any of you thirsty? Because if you believe out of your innermost being, there will be an artesian well. That's the promise. The promise of the Father. That's what it is. He had to come to help the needy. He had to come to bring into satisfaction the unsatisfied people. He didn't want anyone to be thirsty. That's what we know. He didn't want us to be famished. He didn't want us to be full of discord, unfulfillment, overwhelmed with sadness. He didn't want that. He didn't want hopelessness. He wants you to be full, to overflow of the Spirit of God, that the anointing would be on you and on me. How incredibly exciting the possibility, even when we have a prayer meeting like we'll have on Saturday night. What are we hoping? We're hoping that, like as we do every time, we don't always see everything we want to see, but we know this, that when we come and we gather, and we say, oh, Holy Spirit, come. Don't we say that? Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come upon us. Fill us to overflowing so that this prayer meeting is meaningful and rich and overflowing. And say, how did it go? Well, the Spirit was moving. I have a neighbor that's kind of interesting in many ways. And last week, I think it was last week, she said, well, what's he up to? That's what she said. What's he up to? And I said, the Spirit's moving. Just waiting for one last person. I said, I think it's you. I'm pretty sure it's you. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be great. Because I know that if they experience the Holy Spirit, not church, not religion, that's not satisfied anybody. But the Spirit of the living God coming and flooding us. That's the promise. And we shouldn't satisfy for anything less. I mean, we don't want a dry, dead church. You know, we should talk about skating down the aisle. It was so cold in that church that you could have skated down the aisle. On the prairies, that's more meaningful to say that. Right? But that was the analogy. That's how cold it was in there. The preacher was cold. The congregation was cold. The whole church was cold. The whole experience was cold. But until the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us and we receive, not just to be content with a little bit, but that, Lord, I want the whole thing. I don't want to live beneath my inheritance that you have for me and the ways you want to fill me and anoint me. I'll talk about that anointing in a moment here, but these rivers of living water, they're just so incredibly wonderful. Because it's Jesus' answer to what the world is crying out for. They need the Holy Spirit. Well, the rest will always be deficient, I'm sure. Well, Jesus cries out. And he said, "What is your thirst? What's your thirst? What are you thirsty for? Owen, what are you thirsty for?" Sometimes you know when you're knee-deep in church work? Many of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. You're knee-deep in church work. There's all kinds of things. you're caught up in it, and this is happening, that's happening, this is happening, that's happening, all kinds of things. And at least for me, sometimes the whole thing seems unreal. And because I know I can tell I've had too much church, not enough Holy Spirit. And I find myself saying, Lord, surely it's not, I feel like I'm talking to a statue. I'm not talking about you this morning, but I mean generally. And I find myself say, I know what is happening here. I'm kind of like talking to a statue. And I think the Lord has chided me. He said, Owen, let me touch you this morning. Let me overflow you, because you're into religion now. Now you're into organized religion. And you touch it. You don't mean to touch it, but you touch it. And you find out if you're really, really honest, the whole thing's boring you, silly. And I thought, yes, I've been there lots and lots and lots of times. Where I was wanting more and I was very unfulfilled. And I felt Jesus just saying, oh, well, it's you, it's not me. I'm not boring. I can never be boring. But he said, you are bored. You are not drinking at the fountain. You are active in church affairs, but you're not drinking at the fountain. Say, oh, Lord, give me of that living water. I don't want to spend the days of my life, you know, where unfulfilled church work up to your ears, right, for all of us here, but not having that touch upon your soul where you say, wow, the Spirit of God is in my heart and my life, and he's bouncing everywhere, and he's everywhere. He's dancing. And I, you know, I think even pictures like that of the Holy Spirit dancing in our midst. And we're lost in wonder, lost in praise, lost in all the things that have to do with that. So if somebody would come in and say, whoa, oh my goodness, I feel the Lord in this place. It's wonderful. Yes, that shouldn't be this revival moment. It should be really all the time, because the promise is for all of us, all the time. Not some of the time, but all the time. And so as Jesus cries out, what is your thirst? He echoes back to Isaiah 55 and verse 1, and could anything be better than this? Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no, in case you feel deficient, you who have no money, you come. Say, but I don't have anything. I come and eat, because there's enough for all. There's enough for all. Yes. See, the master will give you that which satisfies. That's the kind of God he is. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. That you shall, you know, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And we say, yes, Lord, how did I get satisfied my life with things that don't matter? And I'm thirsty. I'm more thirsty now than I was before. See, church work and church events for all of us are deadly. We must have the Spirit moving on us and in us, around us. We must have. Or you'll have this religious thing going on, but it won't be this gusher going on where you say, oh, man. See, when we come to church, we should expect the moving of the Spirit, right? Should somebody say amen? Yes, we should expect it, because that's what the church is about. What's new? The Holy Spirit, and he's alive, and he's active, and he's moving, and he wants to touch you, and he wants to to bring healing. He's just that kind of God. And we move in, and we come to the waters. He was thirsty. The great thing, that's all the requirement. It's you get beside yourself when you think about it. Say, that's it? Yeah? You don't need any money? Don't need any food? He said, that'll all be supplied. Don't worry about that. But I'm the one who satisfies you. Come. Come. I think we sing a couple of songs that I'm not going to spring that on you, but that's about the water, the troubling of the water. It's a great song, Troubling of the Water. And what is it, you know, the Lord asks, what is it you need? In what area of your life are you thirsty? What area is it, you know, and we could ask that question to all of us. The master will give you that which satisfies. Jesus, because here's, and here, this is why. Because Jesus has in himself just what you and I need this very hour. He knows what I need. He knows what you need. Isn't that a great thought when you think just in himself, all that it's in himself, it's just what everybody needs. Right at this very moment, he has what you need. He has what I, and he'll has it the next morning. As I lose myself in him, we say, good morning, Lord. I love you. I thank you. I praise you. I give myself to you. Lord, don't let me start off dry today. Fill me to overflowing in every way, because Jesus has what you need. You're here this morning. You're sitting in this in a chair this morning at your church, at your favorite church. And here you are. But that you mustn't go home thirsty. That would be a great tragedy if you went home thirsty. You say, how was church? How was it? Well, no, it's okay. See, it didn't, you know, you can't expect something every year. Yet why couldn't we? That's what came. I said, if that's all that requires, So I can ask that, what is your thirst? As a church, what is our thirst? What is it that, if anyone thirsts, say, Lord, it's me. Oh, wow. Then you for sure will want to come to the prayer meeting on Saturday night at 7. Why? Because the moving of the water, the moving of the Spirit, that's why we come together, isn't it? To lay hands on each other, to pray, and to petition, to supplicate, just to crying out to God. So there's help when you need it. John chapter 14 and verse 16 and right over to verse 17, the second part of 17. A necessary condition. He who believes in me. Say, Lord, I believe in you. Do you believe that I can fill you? Do you believe that I can save you? Yes, Lord, I believe. He said, I'm going to send you, and this is wonderfully fresh, another helper. Another helper. He's coming that he may dwell and abide with you forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. He's the comforter. And then we get a little different picture added to this. He will not leave you as orphans. Now, you'd picture that for a moment if you could. That when Jesus went back to heaven, that's where he went. They see him going up there waving to him. And I'm sure there was sorrow. And Lord, you know, I guess he explained to them, took 40 days and 40 nights to tell them about it. But as they cry out to the, goodbye to him, can you imagine? Then there's 12 sitting on the sand, sitting on the grass. They say, well, what's that all about? Where did he go? He went, well, you know where he went. He went to heaven. Our Lord went to heaven. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. But don't worry. I'm sending you another helper. And he will abide with you forever and forever. And the words of John and Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. Wouldn't that have been a timing word? Don't worry. I'm going. You see me going. But I'm promising you, I'm sending not some things, I'm sending someone. This another one, another helper. So don't worry, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Wow, he'll come to us. Christ has left heaven, gone back to heaven, and comfort is on the way. Comfort for whatever. See, it's interesting, of all the expressions he could have used, but he says this is the other comforter. Isn't it a freight comforter? Try not to think of a blanket. Someone told me last time I spoke on this, it's like a, no, it's not quite like that. But although, comfort's on the way. Comfort for your grief. for your grief. If there's grief in your heart, there's comfort for that. There's comfort for your finances when you don't know what you're going to do. And Jesus comes and the Spirit comes to say, don't worry, I've got that covered as well. Peace regarding future direction. What are you going to do? 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 Will you do this? Will you do that? What you know, so much that it has to be thought through in all of our lives. And so even here this morning, according to your need, the Comforter, another helper, has come. And in John 14, verse 26, the helper, the Comforter, he comes alongside so that I'll never have to worry about being overwhelmed by my grief or my agony or my loneliness or my whatever else it would be. He's come specifically to do something. He said, I'm going, but another one. Yes. How wonderful. It's the Holy Spirit. It's fantastic. The helper. So in John 14, 16, peace I give you. I give you peace. Why? So you won't be overwhelmed by what the world is doing to you and would like to do to you. You won't be distraught. I'm not leaving you as orphans. You will know I'm right there. I will be nudging you and hugging you and holding you and telling you what you need to, everything you need to know, I will tell you. You don't need to worry about this or that. I will tell you. I will teach you. I will lead you into all the paths that you need to go to. Don't be afraid. I am adequate for this job, and I have come to do this job. So you would never be wondering what life's about, the anguish of that, or the loss of life. You'll never, that's what he said, that's what I'm going to do for you. And he's coming. He said, I was the Comforter. Now, he will be the Comforter, of course, until Jesus comes. When I read that, I was immeasurably helped to say, what? Talk about covering the bases. Oh, man. That's what this is about, isn't it? The Holy Spirit drawing near to us because we don't know what to do or where to go. And just seeing, well, a lot of good. The Holy Spirit is me. I'm alone. Oh, no. No, that's the one thing. You'd be calling God a liar if you said you're not alone. If you know, if you believe and trust him, he will be there for you. And I have found myself saying, and you know when you talk to God, he knows what you're saying, even if you're ranting and raving, which we're very good at. But say, Lord, you never thirst. You said, I would never thirst. Thank you. Bless you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Not lonely. I'm not lonely. I put on you. Your promise was that I would not be alone. Don't let me be alone. Lead me, guide me, direct me. Are you getting it? How this works? See, the whole point of it was that you would not be floundering, saying, well, that was fun. Jesus was here for a little while. Now he's gone. Oh, he's not gone because the divine one, the divine paraclete has come. And he said, I'll be with you forever. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Forever. There'll never be a time come where I am not at your side. Oh, and I won't leave you alone. And where you're empty, where you're thirsty, I will fill that part. And it'll be authentic. It'll be genuine. Well, not just some little crazy thing that we would add on, but it was the real thing. Help when you need it the most. My Bible fell open, I've got a different Bible here this morning. I should have checked with Cam on it. It's a different translation because the cover of mine fell off, so pretty well. So when I read this, I wasn't planning on reading it, but it fell open. Let me just read it. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. That's he filled with the Spirit, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. And I thought, this gives us a clue that this is what's going to be like in the days ahead. It was certainly for them, and it was for us. That endued with power, Luke chapter 24, 48 to 49, endued with power from on high. I'm not sure why it is, but things seem to come from the top down, don't they? They come from the top down. Suddenly, and the Spirit descends, and it's quite from on high. You say, well, I'm not sure all I know what that means, but wherever it's coming, Lord, I receive the fullness of that. Not feelings. Feelings are very, very, you can't trust feelings. There's up and down and everywhere. But the anointing of God is something else. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 says, you have an unction from the Holy One. An unction from the Holy One. An anointing. So this is what he has in mind, that for the work that I'm going to be doing and the work that you're going to be doing, this anointing is so wonderful. One, for there's a comfort that God says, don't worry, wherever I send you, you will not be alone. And you'll know you're not alone. You won't have to, you know, be repeating it all the time. It will be real to you. It will be the Holy Spirit of God. So you have this unction from the Holy. I'm not sure what an unction is. Maybe you can give me some insight at the coffee spot here later this morning. I'm not sure, but I know we used to, in youth group in 1,000 years ago, we used to talk about, there was this chorus we used to sing about, I've got an unction from the, I better stop now. Something about gumption in my umption or something like that. It was a youth kind of a thing. But we sang it heartily, for sure. But this anointing, people say, oh, if I could only feel the anointing. No, you know, it's nothing to do about feelings. Feelings don't come into it. It's a belief that he told the truth, and you don't need to feel anything. You need to believe. And I need to believe that God will use me. An anointing from above. So we believe the Lord, and then we ask him to use us. You see, so we've come full round on this, that God gives us this peace. He gives us thirst. He quenches our thirst. At least that's his promise. And you can have a talk with him if it's not true, but I believe it'll be true. And as you and I learn to live in the Spirit's power, that's where the joy is. That's where the unction is. That's where everything is. It's in the presence of God. And when you learn to live in that, and I learn to live in that, I even the other day when I mentioned how religiously bored I kind of felt, I said to God, God, this isn't what you promised. I said, do most Christian people, are they bored? You know what? I felt the answer he was coming back with, yes. But don't you be bored. Don't let that thing where it's just, I'm not backsliding. I'm not I don't need to worry that I'm having a breakdown. No, that was last week. But I know this, that whenever I can sense the signs, I know, see, my point is the Holy Spirit it keeps us fresh. It keeps us bubbly. It gives you, you see, the inner man should always be bubbly. So there's this anointing that's coming on me and in me and around me. And I thank God for so much of, I can say, yes, I have that lightness of spirit, because I'm praising and thanking the Holy Spirit for being alive in my life and trusting him to do all that he wants to do. So we believe the Lord. And what is that moving, leading towards? What is the point of all this? It's usefulness. As he fills us with our to quench our thirst, to give us a sense of always, he would always be there. Always. Always be there. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. Wow. And I'm sure that if that was true for Jerusalem, it's true for you, it's true for me. And then as we receive this spirit of adoption, really that's what it is, isn't it? A spirit of adoption, where I am I'm adopted into his family and everything else to do with him. And then he releases us so that I could be useful. It's not just a matter so I can be blessed, but to be used for God to use you. For God to use you. Don't let that drop. Don't let that go. I know. I have moments in my life where I know that God was preparing me. Not necessarily to be a pastor as much as to be useful. Just to be useful. And it might be that you've kind of ground to a halt a little bit, where the excitement of ministry, of touching lives, is kind of waned a little thin, and you're not quite so excited about it as you were. Can I say this to you? Don't let the flame go out. That is very important to what God's doing. And that's why we go to gatherings like this for Saturday night. We gather for that because it's important. That keeps the church fresh. And you want freshness. You want to keep this bubbly. You want the church to, don't let the church flame go out. Why? Lack of prayer. Lack of praise and worship. I'm putting a plug on this, but I hadn't planned on it. But the more I'm saying, these are moments like this that God can touch us, and we say, that was a really worthwhile meeting. That's a prayer meeting. We were worshiping, we were praising, we were blessing God, and how wonderful. Great meeting. Yeah, and I get that, and we get it. But with your ministry, now most of you, the majority of you, are in the will of God right now. You're doing the will of God. You're actively seeking to be useful to the Lord. Then, so carry on. But it could be that you don't feel that God's using you at all. And I would exhort you to really press in, so that you can receive everything. See, the day will come when I feel and you feel his arms around us, and that'll be the day of our reward. But in the meanwhile, we don't want to be leaving things that we should have claimed, we should have had. The Holy Spirit was trying to do that within us, and we didn't allow him to because we were nervous or we were afraid or some reason. It's always a good reason. But no, it's not feelings. It's just availability. And I think that especially when we pray for each other, it's a wonderful thing. And when we say to you, is anybody here feeling you need a touch from God? And we gather around and we pray for that individual, knowing that the Lord would be glad to bless them and keep them and use them in every and any way he can. So for my own heart, I think for many years, I avoided the Holy Spirit. Now, not on purpose, not to be belligerent, but sometimes Pentecostal prayer meetings and things, and that's all I've ever known. So it just seemed that, this is it. This is kind of what this is about. And I found it not so fulfilling, but lots of noise and Somebody would say, hang on. Somebody would say, let go. Somebody would say, brother, you know, anyway, it was just kind of, So I kind of turned off a little bit. But not anymore. I'm a little older. All right, older. And I see the absolute value. If I'm going to slide into home base, I need to be full of the Spirit. I can't be avoiding the Holy Spirit. And if God has a word for me, then I need to receive it. If God wants to do something. But my point being is that I don't stray away from him now, because sometimes you have to filter out some kind of kooky people, but that's okay. Maybe somebody's probably saying that about me right now. They're different, right? And I don't know how come they always end up where the way they do, but that's okay, because God will work all that out. But you and I need to enter in and press in for the good things that he's going to do. And I'm convinced of that. That's why I have to keep fresh. Don't let anything go stale. Ask the Lord to refresh you again, even here this morning. And you're going home to say, Holy Spirit, stir up the gifts in me. Stir up the callings. What callings? When the Lord set you aside. See, he gloriously set you aside for divine purposes. Are you there with it? Are you entering into that? Because that's what I want. I want to enter into it so that these blessings from on high, in any form, whether it's thirst or whether it's orphanage or anything else, I don't want to be watching from the side, like high and dry. Say, well, I'm not into his extremes, you know. Yeah, and I'm not into anything. Just, I want to be, actually just a few weeks ago, somebody said, not even 2 weeks ago, said, you know why I like coming over to your church? I said, I don't go here, but this is where I like. You guys are not afraid to step out. That's it? That's the word? Yeah, he said, you're not afraid to step out. I like that. And I thanked him for his encouragement. He said, I visit different churches, and he said, and we're not to compare ourselves with other churches, but simply said, it smells good in here. Smells like the Holy Spirit, right? And that freshness. I said, that's really encouraging. That's very encouraging. And he said, don't lose that. Wow. Don't lose that. Well, you don't want to lose it. Can you? Yeah. You can church life it away. You can do anything with it. And it won't be the same. But if you feel that God has saved you, if I feel that God saved me, to what end did he do it? That's the part that interests me. Okay, he's going to keep me fresh. He's going to do all the things as I talked about here this morning. But is there more? Should I be asking the Lord for more? You know, so in other words, turn the tap on and let me be immersed and blessed and filled and anointed and whatever that unction is, that I would not be left behind, but I would enter into it. And you would enter into it. And together we'd say, boy, those were great, great days. Great days where we were seeking the Lord and asking for the Holy Spirit to freshen us and to complete us, only as he can do that. So as we close, I would be thrilled just to pray for you or with you. We always have a time problem, but not too bad this morning. It might be that you... I don't know if we have any musicians here, do we? So I think, why don't we just pray for a while? That's okay. But here, just focus for a second here. The Holy Spirit is the most wonderful friend that you'll ever have. That's what I'm getting. Not just this morning. And I said, oh, I love you, Holy Spirit. I love you, Holy Spirit. You're so wonderful. Because what he brought me to the Savior. Right? He's so wonderful. He has touched me. He's filled me. He's anointed me. Oh, how wonderful is this? I love you. And you may find yourself dancing before him. Don't stifle that. It'll all balance out as to how it's supposed to be. But make yourself available. Don't be afraid to be in your private time at home. Don't be afraid to cut loose. So just say, I'm just going to praise God. And you can dance and sing and whatever just enjoying him. Say, oh, Spirit of God, Spirit of the living God, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Just feel free to open your heart. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Lord, I pray that those that are thirsty here today will find living water roaring out, overwhelming them. Those that are lonely, you didn't maybe realize that there is another friend who's come to be with you. And his promise is you will never be left alone. Thank you. We thank you. And to those that are bored and restless, fling yourself in his arms. Repent where you've been talking like a statue to him instead of to the living God. Gone through some things and it's caused a kind of a dryness to you. It's taken its toll on you. You might want to ask the Lord to refill you. I remember when I was a teenager, I kind of got away from the Lord a bit as a senior teen. And I didn't pray in the Spirit for quite a long time. And then when I got things back to order as they should have been, that was one of the first things that, like a renewal. I remember weeping with joy that I could still pray in the Spirit. So if any of you have lost some things along the way, Holy Spirit, just come and touch. Renew. Give fresh resources. Let there be an excitement in all of our hearts. Not just emotion, but a real Holy Spirit excitement. You have started something and you're going to complete it. So here we are. Here we are, Lord. Praise God. A short word you might have, just expressing your heart of the need of the Spirit of God.
You've never
Good analogy. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you.
All who are thirsty, and all who are weak, come to the fountain and dip your cart in the streams of the innocent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Praise God. Lord, I pray that the one who feels comfortless will feel overwhelmingly comforted. Whatever they've gone through, I just pray that you will refresh them and encourage them. Maybe this whole thing seems unreal to them too. Father, we're glad that you sent the Holy Spirit. So practical. So real. Without you, Lord, we are in serious trouble. It's you. Spirit of God, it's you. And Lord, we're glad this is the age of the Spirit. This is it. This is the time when the Spirit is outpoured. Church age. And we thank you. Bless each person here today. Bless them and encourage them and inspire them. Refresh them, renew them. And may they find themselves giggling, laughing, smiling, just so happy. Happy in the Lord. Happy in the Spirit's comfort. Lord, so much so that other people would want what we have. They would want to be baptized in the Spirit. They would like to experience just once. We know they won't be the same if they experience just once the anointing of the Spirit of God. Thank you. So, Lord, we look forward to precious times, not just today, but as a way of life. Thank you. And all of God's happy people said, amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Now, we're glad you're here this morning. If you have time, if you're able to, come and join us on the patio. I think there's a bit of rain, but not there. So again, God bless you. See you shortly.